Broadcasting from Cincinnati, you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we have a great show for you today. And as always, if you want to call in and ask some questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8:30 tonight. We'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it goes down. We're going to be joined here in about 15 minutes by Vito Malnecki Jr. So we'll be talking to him for a little bit. We're also going to be talking about Mike Tyson and Roy Jones takes place next week. We'll tell you everything you need to know about that fight. Adrian Broner should come to no shock to anybody that he's in the train wreck of the week again this week, and I'll let you know why. But first, let's get started with the PBC on FS1. Javier Fortuna versus Antonio Lozada. Javier Fortuna wins via TKO in the sixth round over Antonio Lozada. Lozada was dropped in the first round, but came back to kind of make it a fight of it. Fortuna ultimately caught up with him in the sixth round for the TKO. Beeb, not really much to talk about here. Any comments on this one?
Target practice. And I just want to say one brief thing. And I know I harp on this continuously. I hate mismatches like this, because when you're looking at guys' heads, snap back like this and snap like – it's some, the shots that were landed and were taken in this fight, you know, by Fortuna were just they were scary. Watching the head go back like that, and you know, when you have a kid like that can take a lot of punches and had a lot of heart, those are the types of people that can get seriously injured. So this is why when you have a guy like Javier Fortuna, who's a world class fighter, former world champion. I just don't like to see matchups like this because something bad could have happened, and I'm glad it didn't. But that's always in the back of my mind when I see mismatches like this.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, there's no – you know, I understand tune-up fights and stay busy fights. I mean, but, you know, one of these guys is going to get hurt. And you got to wonder about, like, management who takes these fights for their guys. You know, is it just a cash-out fight? Is it just, you know, like – because, you know, you remember that book we reviewed, and they talked about fixed fights in there. And they say about 99% of all the fights are fixed, but not in the way you think they're fixed. They're not paying off judges. They're not paying off referees. It's fixed in the sense that we know who's going to win going in. We know there's no way this guy is going to win the fight. May make for an entertaining fight, but he's not going to win the fight. That's the way, you know, like a lot of promoters think and matchmakers think when they put this together.
Do you remember in Rocky III when yes. Rocky was getting ready to fight Glover Lang?
Yes.
And then, you know, Mickey was having that conversation with him. He goes, "What do you mean I'm not ready? I had 10 title defenses." He goes, "That was nothing. Those were easy." He goes, "Setups? No, they wasn't setups. But they was handpicked."
Right.
"They was handpicked.
They was good fighters.
They was good fighters, but they were nothing like this guy.
He's a killer.
This guy's a killer. He'll knock you tomorrow, Rock." I could have been a nice, good actor, man.
You could have been. You could have been somebody. You could have been to Hollywood. Could have been in Hollywood right now. Yeah, but, I mean, you're right, though. I mean, it's like you said. I mean, there's no point in these type of fights, you know? Yeah. So,
well, and that... Lozada had – it was just – let me just say this. If you're up here, you can't always have someone up here at fight after fight. We talked about this. Right. But maybe go down here. Don't go down here, you know? Stay in arm's length. Don't – if you're at this type of skill level, go like maybe two notches below. Don't go like 10 notches below.
Right, because that does nothing for you. I mean, quite honestly, it's not going to do anything for you.
It can make you worse.
You can still have a sparring session out there. I mean, really, what's that do for you? Doesn't do anything, you know?
That's what I'm saying, you know?
I don't get it, Beeb.
He'll knock you tomorrow, Rock! I love that.
Clever Lang was the best, wasn't he? Wasn't he the best? Yeah. He might have been the best villain in the Rocky. I mean, just the way his charisma and everything like that, he might have been the best one.
Adrian was the worst wife of all time. Every time he had a fight, you can't win, Rock!
Said you can't. Great. His own wife said he couldn't win.
Great positive attitude.
That was
great. I would have kicked her to the curb. Yeah, and you're not going to be able to spend this credit card money anymore, bitch. Get out of here.
Yeah, right? Yeah, she didn't mind all the, you know, that big house.
You didn't mind. You didn't mind taking the money that I was getting off these fights, but, oh, I can't win any of them. Get out of here.
Or when he knocked him out and he looked at me, he was like, tell him I'm coming, old man. You tell him.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the zone. Conor Benn versus Sebastian Formella. Yeah, I guess we got to talk about this one, too. Conor Benn wins a unanimous decision over Sebastian Formella by the scores of 100-91, 99-91, and 99-92. Lopsided from start to finish. I mean, what do you want? I mean, this is, yeah. And you know what? And listen, granted, you pay for PBC on FS1. You pay for that because with your cable subscription. Okay. DAZN, you pay another, what, 10, 20 bucks for, depending on where you fall in the process?
I have to start checking if my thing went up.
Mine's still $9.99.
Yeah, mine's still $9.99, too. Yeah. Are we gonna, so we're locked into that until we cancel. So if we cancel, you know what's stupid? If we cancel.
If we cancel, we go back at the higher rate.
We go back, we have to pay 20, yeah.
That's right. Or if you want to pay 120, you know. But I tell you what, man, $10 for what they're putting on is too much. I'll be honest.
Well,
for
considering
what they put on this year has been
ESPN
too much.
Plus is starting to outperform.
They really are.
And I'm only paying what, $5 for that?
Yeah. Yeah, they really are.
And you know what else ESPN Plus kills them? They have the 30 for 30s. They have
some of those are pretty good.
Yeah, and then you know what else they have? They have all those old fights, like the classic ones.
Yeah.
They have like the Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier fights on there, the classic library.
Did you see the Tommy Morrison 30 for 30?
I did, but I can't remember.
That was good. That was really good. The other one that was really good, it was a short. It was one of those ESPN shorts or whatever. And it was Roy Jones in the Olympic medal. Roy Jones in that park kid or whatever. That was good. That was a really good one.
That
always intrigues me. That fight always intrigues me. You know.
Yeah.
Undercard of the Conor Benn fight was Alan Bobich versus Tom Little. Alan Bobich is a heavyweight. He moved to 6-0 with a third round KO over Tom Little. He's now 6-0 with 6 knockouts in the heavyweight division. The announcers over there seem to be really high on this guy. Listen, he's got a lot of charisma. Have you seen Bobich fight before?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
He's got a ton of charisma. He's got that it factor. He's got that villain persona. He's got that guy. He's the guy that you want to see. There's a problem, though, is that his talent is gonna hit a ceiling sooner rather than later. He's gonna be. And if you watch this fight after the first round, he was gassed. I mean, he looked completely gassed in that corner. I'd like to see this guy get some cardio. I'd like to see him do it the right way. He is 30 years old right now. A little late in the game, I get it. But he's doing well. He's doing well. I'd like to see this guy, like, progress. I just don't know how far he can realistically, I don't know how far he can go. And he's got, you know, he's got some good power. I don't think he has, like, I don't know that he necessarily has that one-shot heavyweight power.
You know who manages him?
No.
Dillian White.
Dillian White does?
Yeah.
I tell you, you know, he's got a good upside to him. He really does. But I want to see some better cardio from him.
Yeah.
I want to see him settle down more because he goes in there like a whirlwind. And the problem is he doesn't have the stamina for it.
He goes 0-100 like real quick and kind of blows his wad.
Right, absolutely does.
And he swings for the fences with every punch.
Every single, and that's why he's getting winded. Who, you know, and I don't know who his trainer is. You know, I would like to find out, like, I would like to see him switch trainers. I really would. Because I'm not 100% certain that he's with the right guy. Or it could be, you know, it could be.
He's too small to have that type of style, especially in this division. You know, he's not that big of a guy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he really is.
There's been some fights where he's only weighed like 200 pounds, 205, 200, 213.
Well, let me ask you this. Would he be one of the candidates for the Bridger weight?
Yes. He'd be perfect for that, to be honest with you. He could probably make Cruiser if he wanted to.
Yeah, because he's not that big. I mean, he's not that big at all. And he's knocking out heavyweights. He's knocking out guys. And listen, man, he's 6-0. I get it. He's only 6-0. You know, at the same time, though, I want to see some improvement on his technique. I don't want to see, you know, we know you can go out there. We know you can fight. We know you can, you know, rough people up. I get you. But I want to see a little bit more improvement from his technique. You know?
He's going to have to get better as the competition gets better. He's going to have to have more than just one tool in the toolbox to bring to the dance.
Because, again, I don't, you know, like I said, I'm not 100% certain that he hits particularly hard. You know, I'll be honest. I mean, I think he wears you out with volume. I think he throws a lot of punches and hits the target quite a bit. But as far as that one-hitter quitter, I really don't know that he's got it. Kylie, that's perfect. I think you might have. Yeah. Might be the analogy right there. As soon as she comes up, there we go. She says, Bobich reminds me of Peter McNeely. That's perfect. I think that's absolutely perfect because that was Peter McNeely. He would come out and he, like a heavyweight Aaron Pryor.
Yes. Kylie, where are you from? How do you know Peter McNeely? Probably from the Mike Tyson. But some people don't even remember Peter McNeely. Peter McNeely's from my state. He's from Metfield.
From Metfield, Mass.
Metfield, Massachusetts. Kylie, are you from New England? No, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
See what she says.
But I tell you, you know, yeah, that's really what he reminded me of. That's a really good. And Peter McNeely was a pretty good fighter. I mean,
she's from Chicago.
Okay. Oh, she's from Chicago.
Yeah, but she knows him.
Yeah, McNeely. You know, McNeely was a pretty good fighter. But again, he's always going to be remembered for that Mike Tyson fight. Not the fights, he was a good fighter, right?
You see the Pizza Hut commercial he made?
That was the best one.
He was like,
my man he gave it all he got for 30 seconds.
That was funny.
That was, man. Yeah, but McNeely was a good fight. Whatever happened to him? Was it drugs or whatever I heard or
nope.
something like that?
Oh, he has I don't want to put his business out there, but he has some issues.
Yeah. That's what
anyway. You know who else knocked him out?
Ooh.
Butterbean. He fought Butterbean.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, man. And maybe I get a lot of stags for this or not, but didn't Butterbean go 12 rounds with Larry Holmes?
He did. Not What's 12. It? I think it was 10.
10 maybe?
Yeah,
it was 10 rounds. Listen, man, Butterbean, you know, for as much as they claimed he was a sideshow, that guy could fight. That guy could fight, man.
Remember that movie Jackass when he beat up Johnny Knoxville? That was a lit, but that was so funny, bro.
Yeah, right?
Oh, he really hit Johnny Knoxville is nuts. Butterbean really hit him.
Butterbean can hit. I mean, he's got to be able to hit, right? Did you see him lately? He's got, like, walks with a cane, stuff like that.
Doesn't he really?
Yeah. And he's still fairly big. He's still, like, a fairly big guy, you know.
Is he real heavy still?
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's still fairly big, you know, so.
Think he's still really pounding up the food right now? How old is he? Let me see.
Probably not what he was. I mean, probably not like what he was, you know, but I imagine he was. You know, he's still a big guy.
He's walking with a cane and he's only 54 years old.
I told you he's a big.
He's only 3 years older than the Beeb. Wow.
Yeah, but he's about 300 pounds high. You know, more than the Beeb too. So
he's 378 pounds, 5'11".
Jeez.
Wow.
Vito, can you hear us? Uh-oh. There he is.
Look at the youngster.
Can you hear me?
I can. Yes. I can.
Look at the youngster.
I know, man. I just graduated high school. My man just graduated high school in June, wasn't it? In June?
Wait, can you guys?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know if you guys could hear me. But, yeah, I graduated high school in June. Or, well, we did our graduation in July because of COVID-19.
Right.
And we had a ceremony, no parents. It was just the students on the field. And it was good, though. It was, like, just grateful that they set something up for us to just, like, I guess, say goodbye to our classmates one last time.
Don't take this the wrong way, but you look like kind of like an innocent young man. And
doesn't he look like that? I mean, he's got a beautiful man.
You look like, don't take this the wrong way. I mean, there's a thought, but you look like a mama's boy, right?
Oh,
how shocked are people when you tell them you're a fighter? If at all.
Oh, well, I mean, obviously the boxing game knows me, so I mean, right. It's more of like people would like, oh, you see like, I mean, a lot of fighters are like that, where they look like don't judge a book by its cover kind of thing. But
yeah.
I mean, obviously me, I have a baby face. I mean, I don't know. I people are like, yo, how are you a fighter? Like, you look like you're an altar boy or something like that. But yeah, that's just how it is.
Well, and also too, like, he's a genuinely nice guy. I've seen you in interviews and everything like that. He's like a genuinely nice guy, you know, and that's what, like, you know, you see him and like, he would completely work you over, you know? I mean, if you got into a fight with this kid, he'd kill you, you know?
So did your class, do your classmates kind of, are they wary of you not to say the wrong thing in front of you or say the wrong thing to you, I should say, because they know you are a fighter? How do people treat you in school? Do they treat you differently? Like, no one's pushing you or trying to, you know, steal your locker or anything like that or asking you for lunch money. I can imagine, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously I'm not in school anymore, but when I was in school, I never really had issues like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never really had issues like that. I would just really, when I was in school, I would just put my headphones in, go to class, do what I got to do, and then just walk around, like, not just be myself, basically. I would, like, people would never test me. People would never basically try me. But if they did, I mean, I wouldn't even give them the time of day, really. Like, I would just.
So you have no problem walking away
from out my day.
You would have no problem walking away from a fight, in other
words. Oh, not yeah, that's it.
What a smart
guy. I do enough fighting in the ring.
Yeah,
I love to hear that. That's so refreshing to hear.
Right.
Yeah, I do enough fighting in the ring every day, so I don't need that outside the ring.
Now, since you turned pro so young, have you had an extensive amateur career at all? Like, how many amateur fights have you had?
Yeah, so I have 175 amateur fights.
Wow, that's a lot of time.
I won the Golden Gloves 4 times.
Yeah, he's got a ton of experience.
Yeah, I was on the USA national team as a 15-year-old. I was at the Olympic Training Center. I've been fighting since I was 7, so, I mean, this is
–
it's nothing – I was born for this. This is, like, my destiny.
And he's also, not only that, he's also sparred the who's who coming up. I mean, I saw you with Otha Jones, you know, Otha Jones Jr., or Otha Jones, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, and you sparred all this talent coming up. So with 175 amateur fights, all the experience you have, how big has the leap from the amateurs to the pros? Has it been harder than what you expected or about what you expected?
Well, first, I was grateful enough to grow up with the likes of Shakur Stevenson, Gervonta Davis, Otha Jones, Lorenzo Truck Simpson, Keyshawn Davis coming up in the amateurs, or everyone just, I mean, I've been around since I was 7, like I said, and Shakur's grandfather, Wally Moses, was actually my trainer growing up from 8 years old till I was 15. So me and Shakur traveled around the country together, me and Tank traveled around the country together. But my amateur pedigree coming from the amateurs to the pros. My style throughout the amateurs was always more suited for the pros anyway. So once I got to the pros, I'm a thinker. I pick my shots, and in the amateurs, it's really not that good to be a thinker and a patient fighter because you have three rounds to get what you have to get off. But once I got to the pros, it all transitioned smoothly.
Let me ask you a question. So you mentioned your trainer, and you had your trainer from the time you were 8 to the time you were 15. You've transitioned over to Joe Goosen, correct?
Yes, sir.
Why did you make that change?
Well, discussing with my team and obviously me, it was obviously Joe Goosen is one of the best trainers probably ever. Yeah. He's had the likes of Diego Corrales, Casamayor, Mike Nunn, and I mean, who wouldn't want to train with a guy like Joe Goosen? Obviously he's got he's been there. He's got the recipe to get to the big dance, and that's exactly why I'm with him.
How did that whole thing come about? I mean, did you pursue him, or did you try to talk to him, or did he come to you and say, hey, you know what, I see a lot of talent in you, I'd like to work with you, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, obviously Al Heyman, Louis DeCuba, they also referenced that to me and my team and I, and Joe obviously had a liking for me as a fighter, and that connection, as soon as we talked, it was like we knew each other for 10 years, and we molded perfectly, and I'm training, and I'm getting ready for December 5th now with him, and I feel great.
I think, you know, the thing about it is December 5th coming up, you're on the undercard of the Errol Spence, Danny Garcia fight. You've been on the other undercard of, was it Wilder Fury, I believe it was? You were on the undercard of that, wasn't that right?
Yeah, Wilder Fury, Wilder Ortiz,
yeah.
J-Rock versus Jason Rosario, and my first fight was obviously in Newark under Shakur Stevenson, and then I signed with Al. But, yeah, those are the fights I've been on.
It's insane because, like, you're on these are huge cards now. I mean, they're putting you on, like, some really major cards, you know, and not everybody gets there. Do you feel a lot of pressure because – you know, the PBC is really, like, putting a lot into you. You know what I mean? Because we know your name. You've been on TV. And with them putting a lot into you, do you feel, like, a lot of pressure on your shoulders from that?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was born to do this. And I've been on the biggest stages in the amateurs. And now they're putting me on the biggest stages in the pros. And I know what I want to be in the coming years. And I'm the hardest worker you'll meet, basically. I'm always ready so I don't have to get ready. And just pressure makes diamonds. So just I'm ready at all times, and nothing's really – at my age, a lot of people would get overwhelmed. For me, it's just another day in the office every time I step in the ring.
Now, you said that you were on Shakur Stevens as an undercard, and – that obviously top rank is Shakur Stevens as the promoter. Did they make a play for you as well, or was that just a one-off? Were there other promoters gunning for you, or was it just Al Heyman and PBC?
Yeah, well, after my debut, obviously I fought on a top rank card, but it wasn't I was never signed with top rank. After that, Al Heyman took me in as family from right after that fight. And obviously I felt comfortable going with him, and he's put me in the best position possible each and every time. And I'm just grateful that I signed with Al Heyman, with the best of the best in the sport.
You really did. I mean, I got to be honest, man. I mean, there's, you know, with the PBC and everything like that, I mean, it's, yeah, you did a pretty good job there. I'll tell you that. And, your trainer, Joe Goosen, for sure. Now, you're fighting on December 5th. Yep. You're fighting against a guy named Stephen Pulliam. Is that correct? Stephen Pulliam?
Yeah.
And what do you know about him?
Yes, sir. Yeah, he's pretty tall. He's about, I mean, I'm about 6 foot two, but he's 6 foot. He likes to box. He's a step-up fight for me. He's obviously probably he's only lost two fights and they're all split. They're both split decisions. Okay. People will consider it a step up fight for me. So, like I said, I've been training with Joe Goosen and I've been in camp for 3 months now and I'm in the best shape of my life. So I can't wait to display what I've learned with Joe Goosen and what Joe Goosen has improved in my arsenal.
Prior to, I mean, you say improved, but when I watch you, it's funny because, like, you know, when I watch you, I don't see a whole lot of downside. Let's put it that way. I mean, you're a very good boxer. You got good offense. You got good defense. What kind of things, without obviously giving a game plan away or whatever, what kind of things are you looking to improve on?
Well, obviously, Joe Goosen has worked on a lot with me. Just, I wouldn't even say getting better at, just sharpening, like just sharpening my tools and just tweaking a few minor things that become bigger things in bigger fights. So, like people say, the small things are what matters the most. And Joe Goosen looks deep into my style of fighting and sees where things need to be tweaked and improved, and he does that.
How much did, like, say your amateur career, because you had a lot of fights. I mean, 175, that's a lot of fights, man. How much did your amateur career help you going into your pro career in times like this, when you're going on an undercard in Texas, the biggest fight of the year? I mean, make no mistake, you're on the biggest card of the year. You were on the biggest with Tyson Fury, you know. So how does that help you? Because it's got to be nerve-wracking for a young fighter to go in there, but how does that help you? How does your amateur experience help you with that?
Yeah, well, just, I mean, the amateur experience, I mean, obviously, after, like, your first few fights, my first few fights as a kid when I was 8 years old, were just, like, you're obviously nervous, but then again, at that, like, I think of it like that, I'm still the, like, an eight, like, just a kid, like, I go in there and having fun. If you're not having fun with what you're doing, you're not doing the right thing. So, I mean, for me, I just go in with a smile. I'm in the locker room smiling, all loose, just ready to go with ice in my veins. And just amateurs, just like I said, just gives you experience in your fight and obviously your skills and being on the biggest stage as possible. Obviously, I fought in the biggest tournaments in the amateurs and was noticed by the biggest promoters in the pros in the amateurs as well. So, I mean, for me, I just go in as if it's another day in the office, like I said, and just go and perform and do what I do best.
Beeb, this guy is an absolute killer. You heard what he said. Ice in his veins. And you could see it. You could see it when he's in the ring. You could definitely see it. You know, he takes no mercy. It's very workmanlike when he goes in there.
Very composed.
Very composed. That's what impresses me most about it. For as young as you are, the composure that you have.
You know, that's the thing. When people talk about amateurs and they compare it to the pros, I think one thing the amateur ranks do them, if you have an extensive amateur career, is it kind of normalizes you because you do it for so long. I think it enables you to become instinctive to the game, in other words. So when you go to the pros, you know things are going to be different, but you're not really nervous about it because it's like I've been doing. I think in the back of any fighter's mind, when they have such an extensive amateur career, they say to themselves, you know, this isn't going to be that different. I've been doing this my whole life. This is just another step. In other words, when you go to those tournaments, his pressure. So this is just another step. Like you'll have fights, but then all of a sudden you'll be in a big tournament, and there's always gradual steps you make as an amateur, and I think this just transcends when you go into the pros. That's what I would imagine, obviously.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
So what is your prediction for the fight on December 5th?
My fight or the main event?
Your fight. Your fight. I don't care about the main event, man. Yeah, I got you on here. What do I worry about the main event, man? I got the main event here on my show, baby.
For my fight, I'm going to just go in there, stick to the game plan. Obviously, if the stoppage or knockout comes, it comes. If you go in there looking for the knockout, it very rarely happens. So just go in there and have fun, like I said, and just do what I do best, and just go to work. That's really it.
That's it. You heard it right here. Vito Malnecki predicts a first-round KO. He said, Stephen Pulliam, he's coming for you. One round, it's over. He said, you know what he said? He said, don't even show up. Don't even show up. Don't even bother.
Show up. Don't even bother.
Just mail the check to me. That's all she wrote, baby.
To me, that's all she wrote, baby.
Uh-oh, somebody's got sound on here. All right, guys.
Wait, you guys can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Somebody had put their sound on. Well, I can hear myself through the mic, so don't worry about it. No worries, man. No worries.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's a little staticky right now, so I can't really understand. But wait, what were you saying? I didn't hear it at all.
I was just translating what you said. You know, you said you were going to go out there in the workmanlike fashion and just get the decision or knock out if it comes.
Yeah.
I was just translating for the people what that actually meant. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Vito, man, good luck on December 5th. Thank you so much for coming on. We got to have him on again, Beeb.
Yeah, we'll bring him back.
Bring him back.
For sure, 100%.
All right, man.
100%. Yeah, thank you guys. I appreciate all your support, and I appreciate having me on. Follow me on Instagram, at Vito Malnecki, Twitter, at Vito Malnecki Jr., and I can't wait to put on a show for you guys December 5th.
We can't wait to watch it, man.
He's a pro at the interviews, too. We didn't even have to ask him to give out his social media. He just did it. That's a pro right there. He knows how to promote. See, you're not a promote yourself. You're learning quick.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You, all part of the game.
That's it. All right, man. Yep. Thank you so much, man.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
That's awesome, man.
Nice kid, man.
Really nice kid.
Sharp, too.
Very, very sharp, man. Very impressive, man. Very impressive. That's for sure.
Good interview.
All right. Let us see here.
Very well spoken.
He was, and I think that's the thing. When I was watching his fights, and I reviewed like this week, some of his fights this week. You know, there's only six of them, and that's okay. We reviewed his fights this week, and the thing about him, that's what I noticed. He was so composed in there, and he would pick his shots, and he was almost like, he was just like I said, just very calm. You know, he's just very calm in there. He boxes. He doesn't rush things. He lets things happen. He waits for you to make a mistake, and then boom, that's it. You know, and then he capitalizes. And it's funny because he said, you know, he went to Joe Goosen to improve on some things, and I get it. He's 100%, you know, I mean, Joe Goosen, one of the best trainers out there, so you can't turn that down, man. But, you know, he said he went there to sharpen, I guess, or, you know, to improve on things. And you look at him and like, as he's fighting, like, man, there's not much this guy really needs to improve on, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah. I tell you what, I don't know, man. He looks good, man. I'm really curious to see what he does with Stephen Pulliam on December 5. Real curious to see how he looks. Now, I don't believe he'll be on the pay-per-view. I believe they've got four on the pay-per-view. I don't believe he'll be on the pay-per-view.
He'll probably be on the Fox on the card, hopefully.
But I believe he's the first one. It depends on how they do it. I know on BoxRec he's set to go as the first one.
Oh, really?
But he'll definitely be on Fox. I imagine he'll be on Fox because they like him and they try to televise that guy.
FS1 you know? Or whatever.
Yeah, FS1, that would be great if they could put him on TV and stuff like that. And you know, again, man, he makes more money when he's on TV. You know?
Of course, yeah.
So that's great too, man. Hopefully he can get, on the undercard, like the TV portion of the pay-per-view fairly soon. Because this is a guy people want to see, you know. The one thing I'll ask you, Beeb, with the Teofimo Lopez's, with, Lomachenko, Teofimo Lopez, the guys that, you know, are going like, you know, 12 fights, getting a world title and everything like that. This is a guy, I think, that I've always hated that route, by the way. I've always hated that route. But I think this guy is a good 20 fights, and then he's probably going to be ready. I mean, he looks very sharp. He always has, you know.
What's happening now is that these fighters have such extensive amateur careers.
Yeah.
Reminds me of the Russian Olympic hockey team.
Yes,
they were together for so long, and they were amateurs, but they were beyond the – they actually could beat pro teams back then.
Well, they beat that all-star team, the NHL All-Stars, yeah.
Yeah, they were that good. And that's the thing. These kids are so seasoned now as amateurs that they're transitioning very well into the pros. In some instances, I think it's easier for them to become pros because, as he said, and he made a great point, you have more time to work with.
Yeah.
So there's less pressure. You could kind of feel your way through a fight more so in the pros than you can in amateurs because the fights just fly right by. You know.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of fighters are just better pros than they are amateurs. A lot of them.
And his style is definitely more suited for the pros.
Yeah.
His style is definitely more suited for the pros. Like Shakur Stevenson, his style is really suited for both, but I think he had to make some adjustments coming into the pros to dial it back.
Shakur Stevenson's getting better and better. He's really, you know, I gotta give Shakur Stevenson a ton of credit because he seems like he's really diligent now and really focused on working on things and getting better. I'm seeing some drastic changes now and for the better. You know, he already had a good base to start from, but he's really gotten a lot better.
Yeah,
sitting down on shots and just feeling his way through the fight, and he just seems a lot more seasoned now, a lot more precise and focused and dialed in now. He's bringing a lot more to the table in these fights than he did early on. You know.
Yeah, I tell you what, man, he's really developing. He really is, and you know, you knew that he was going to be a star. After the gold medal performance, you know, after he ended up losing that, and I get it, that was a tough one, man, and you know he lost the fight, but you knew he was going to be better suited for the pros than the other guy was. You know, it was one of those things. You just knew he was going to be better suited for the pros.
Yeah,
and he's fast. He's hard to hit. I mean, sky's the limit for this guy, man.
One thing that he's really, really improved on is the inside game. He's tough. He's gotten a lot better. He's like, because he wasn't showing any inside game at all. He was holding a lot early on. Now he's actually fighting inside now. You know?
Yeah.
He's grinding it out a little bit on the inside.
Yeah, for sure.
So I like that. Like the body shots. He's really going hard to the body now too. Sitting down on the shots. I'm impressed.
Yeah, I am too. All right, let's go to the upcoming fights here. November 27th, Beeb, on DAZN from Hollywood, Florida. Danny Jacobs versus Gabe Rosado, 12-round super middleweights. Demetrius Andrade was supposed to be on the undercard. I'm not sure if he still will be, but he won't be against Dusty Hernandez-Harrison, who pulled out with COVID. So I think that fight is scrapped. I'm not 100%, but I think it is scrapped. Emmanuel Tago versus Mason Menard, 10 rounds lightweights. And that's the DAZN card, Beeb.
Yeah,
come on, son.
I don't know what to tell you.
Danny Jacobs versus Gabe Rosado. How about Gabe Rosado still fighting? How about that? I mean, you know, he's a tough guy. Listen, man, he's a tough guy.
I like Gabe a lot, but
I do too. I really like watching him fight, man. But I don't want to see him fight anymore.
One thing that
takes a lot of shots, man.
Yeah, one thing that concerns me about Gabe is his face is really starting to break down every fight very badly. And I just don't want to see anything bad happen to the kid. He's a great person. He's a great person.
Yeah. I think that's the thing, and I mean no disrespect by that. I mean,
yeah.
But I don't want to see him take more punishment. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just don't. I there's no reason for it.
You know, what's going on with Demetrius Andre, too? Like, he's got the WBO middleweight title. And he just hasn't. Now he's got Eddie Hearn. He works with Eddie Hearn now. And when's this guy going to get a big fight? Where's the Golovkins? Where's the Canelos? Where's
Golovkin
the
at the very least. I mean, Golovkin's in, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they're in the same. Listen, Eddie Hearn,
Billy Joe Saunders, where's the Danny Jacobs?
Look,
I know him and Danny Jacobs are friends, and they don't want to fight unless it's for, you know, unless it means something. There's a lot of money on the table, but
look, Kell Brook, and Amir Khan were at Matchroom, signed. Amir Khan for the sole purpose of fighting Kell Brook, and Eddie Hearn could not make that fight happen.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? You know, I mean, he's not a good promoter. Not good. He's concentrating on Joshua. That's it. You know? November 27th in Thailand. This does not have a TV date yet. No one has picked it up. I imagine ESPN might, but I don't know. We'll see. If not, you can YouTube it. The best ever. The best to ever do it, son. The best to ever lace up his gloves. The best to ever step in the ring. He lays it down every time. Was it 51 or 52? Come and gone.
I think it's 52-0-1 now.
52 come, 52 gone, baby. That's the way it goes. Wan Heng, Menayothin. The best ever.
Best
versus Pechamani CP Freshmart. That is not his name. That is not his real name. Probably can't pronounce his real name. That's okay. From Menayothin's WBC strawweight title. I heard a lot of like the lighter weight guys from like Thailand and the Philippines or whatever will get sponsored and use a sponsorship as their name.
Yeah, there's a fighter named Publix out there.
Publix. What's the matter with you? Stop it.
I knew you'd like that one.
Stop it. Jonathan Kroger's, you know, Kroger's supermarket, you know.
Beeb Walmart.
Beeb Walmart. That's right.
Eric Target.
That's right. Eric Target. That's it, man.
Oh, God, that's funny.
November 28th from London on ESPN Plus. Now we're starting to get there.
It's a good fight.
Now we're starting to get there, Beeb. Daniel Dubois versus Joyce. 12 rounds for the vacant European heavyweight title, baby.
Great fight, man.
Not much on the undercard. I got to be honest with you. I'm looking at these names. I don't recognize any of them, and I do this every week. So there you go. All right, so Daniel Dubois and Joe Joyce, the reason I'm looking forward to this fight, Beeb, is
I know why.
About 12 minutes into the fight, I'll never have to hear Joe Joyce's name ever again. It will never come across my screen. I won't hear stories about him. I don't even want to hear rumors about him, Beeb.
That's going to make a living. What's he going to do?
Hey, there's always Barber College. I don't know what to tell you. All right?
Think we can have him as a guest host on the show?
What do you think? I'll give you two guesses, but you're only going to need one. No. All right?
Oh, God.
November 28th from Carson, California, Beeb. Pay-per-view, Beeb. Mike Tyson coming back versus Roy Jones Jr. 8 rounds exhibition, heavyweights on the undercard. Not a bad undercard. Badu Jack versus Blake McKernan, 8 rounds light heavyweights. Jermaine Ortiz versus Suleiman Sagawa, 8 rounds lightweights. Irvin Gonzalez versus Edward Vasquez, 8 rounds featherweights. Title Town representing in Carson, California on the pay-per-view, Jake Paul versus Nate Robinson, 6 rounds light heavyweights. Jake Paul, I believe, is undefeated. Undefeated, undisputed, Beeb. Jake Paul, Title Town. We'll talk about that fight in a minute. From Uncasville, Connecticut on November 28th on Showtime, Chris Colbert, that's a good fighter, versus Jamie Arboleda. 12 rounds for Colbert's WBA interim junior lightweight title. Richardson Hitchens versus Arjunas Mendez, 10 rounds junior welterweights. And Ronald Ellis versus Matvey Korobov, 10 rounds middleweights. So that's going to be a good fight.
It's not a bad card.
Chris Colbert, no, it's not. It's really not, believe it or not. It's not at all.
Pretty solid card.
Yeah. So not too bad, not too bad. Beeb, my question for you is, are you watching the Roy Jones-Mike Tyson fight?
That's what I was just going to ask you. How are we going to be able to watch? I think I heard that it's on a streaming platform, but I'm not seeing any advertisement for it, no information on how to purchase the event.
That's right. I forgot about that. I'll find it. You know what? You know what we ought to do? Because they're going to do a weigh-in on this. We ought to do like a weigh-in show on Friday.
Okay.
Friday. It's, well, Thanksgiving week, isn't it? Like Thursday's Thanksgiving or something like that?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we'll do one Friday maybe.
Could do that.
We'll see. And we'll give you guys all the information and stuff. I'm sure you guys will have it by then, but just in case you don't. Aaron Daly, thank you so much. Did he really say this? Did Aaron Daly really say this? He's got to be kidding, right?
Are you kidding Aaron Daly?
He's got to be kidding around. He's got to be kidding around.
Are you really picking Joyce?
No. He says Joyce smokes the ball. Are you serious? No. He can't be serious, bro.
I don't see that happening.
No, come on, man. He's not serious. He's not serious. Stop.
Is he really serious?
No, stop it. There's no way.
He's kidding around.
He's got to be kidding around. He's joking.
He's got to be joking.
D-Style, thank you so much. He says hit the like button, and you know what? I agree with him. Hit the like button, guys.
Hit that like button.
Hit it a couple times. You voted a couple times, hit the like button a couple times.
He's a piece of work right now.
He's unhinged, my God. He's unhinged.
Poor Giuliani, man, with his freaking hair dye running down the side.
See that? How embarrassing is that, man?
Oh, my God.
That's jacked up. All right, so let me ask you a question now. So are you going to buy the fight? I mean, we'll find the fight.
If I can figure out how to.
Yeah, we'll figure it out for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the name of the app again?
I don't know.
Thrilla app or something?
Something. I don't know.
Trilla app?
I think it was Trilla. No?
Okay. Yeah, Trilla.
Trilla. Who owns Trilla?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Probably some rap guy or something like that. Doesn't some rap guy own it?
I'm not sure.
Like 50 Cent or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll find out.
Yeah. Amilcar says the name of the app is Crack Streams. Aaron Daly says Dubois hasn't fought anyone good and only showed power against weak opposition.
All right.
So, okay. All right. Well, I don't think you want to put anything on that anybody, right? I mean, I don't think anybody wants to put a pie on that or anything, right? No. There's no way. Nobody wants to, put the money where the mouth is, do they? Or the pie where the face is? Nobody wants to do that.
No one's going to do that.
No. Joe Joyce's punches will be downloading mid-fight. So what do you think? Okay, so and let me talk about this Tyson fight again here real quick, because I'll be honest with you. I've heard the rules change about 50 times before we get there. I don't know what the rules are. They say it's an exhibition, and then they said they were going to have judges, and then they said they were going to do it without headgear. Now, I don't know.
Found out there's not going to be official judges there. But there's going to be remote judges. I know that WBC is going to have like three remote judges.
Okay, but are they going to have like? I mean, is there like a live audience there or no?
I'm not sure, but you know who the live judges are. I know Vinny Pazienza is one of them.
Is he a licensed judge?
No, but they're just
exhibition judges. Okay,
they're just remotely scoring the fight. Like for the WBC, and the WBC is going to have like a front. It's called a frontline belt.
Yeah, I was going to say because they got a belt for this. How could they just be exhibition?
But the commission, the commission's not scoring the fight. But the WBC has three fighters. I think it's who else is doing it? I think it's Vinny Pazienza, and I found out who the other two were, but I gotta get the other two names for you. I know Vinny Pazienza is one of the judges.
Israel Adesanya is gonna be one of the announcers from the UFC.
No,
UFC
I didn't know that.
Israel Adesanya is gonna be one of the announcers. And they said it was gonna be hard sparring. So your guess is as good as mine. They said they're not allowed to knock each other down or anything like that.
Okay, here's the three judges: Christy Martin, Vinny Pazienza, and Chad Dawson are going to be scoring the fight remotely.
All right.
So you got three fighters scoring the fight. WBC, it's for the W. They're doing it for the WBC, and that's how the WBC is going to award the belt.
I love that Paz is the judge. I love that Paz. Paz is the best guy ever.
But here's the downside to out there. Here's one downside to the fight. I don't know if you know this. It's 8 rounds, right? But guess what? But guess what? They're only 2 minutes. So it's like a
chick fight?
Yeah, it sucks.
Oh, stop it.
10 minutes.
Ah, come on.
It's horrible.
D-Style says, thank you very much, D-Style. He said, this is my Ringside Reporter sanctioning fee payment. There you go. There you go.
Thank you.
2 minute rounds?
Yeah, 2 minute rounds. So, Christy, I'm so, like, no disrespect to Chad Dawson, but his name came out of nowhere, right? I haven't seen, like, Christy Martin still does interviews and stuff.
Does she?
And so does Vinny Pazienza. But I haven't, like, Chad Dawson's been MIA, so I'm just wondering, you know, not that I mind that he's doing it. It's just that he came out, like, that name kind of comes out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah, where's he been?
Yeah.
They had to get Bobby Chez, man. Remember Bobby Chez?
Yeah.
That was at Mensa.
Yeah.
He's a fellow Mensan.
What do you think Lisa's gonna say about that comment you just made?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What comment?
Okay.
Somebody in the chat saying something about, like, you know, something, you know, that I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
But no,
I think you were taken out of context. You were taken out of context.
Well, clearly I was probably taken out of context. I get taken out of context every week. Every week I'm taken out of context.
That's funny.
What are you going to do? Who do you got, Joe Joyce or Daniel Dubois?
I got to take Dubois.
How fast? Do you think he goes the distance?
I'm going to make a bold prediction. I think Dubois is going to knock him out in 3 rounds.
I said inside of 4 rounds, that fight's going
to
be over.
I want to see what the over-under is for that fight. I'm probably going to take the
You might be able to make a commercial out of this fight. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. He's going to put him away. He is going to put him away fast.
Wow.
That's right. That's right. He's putting him away quick. Putting him away quick, son. All right, let's go on to the news and rumors here. So good weekend of fights coming up, man. Kind of a train wreck fight with the Tyson Jones, but before I move on to the news.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the Tyson fight? Do you think there's a knockout in that fight, man? Do you think Tyson clips him? Because I don't think Jones is going to knock him out.
I think these guys are going to fight for real. I do. I do.
I love it.
I do. Tyson's scary, bro. Tyson.
Even at like 50-something years old, I wouldn't want to get by him, man.
Tyson is a very, very intimidating individual at any age. I don't even care if he's got a gray beard right now. He's intimidated at any age. Tyson could have a cane or be using a walker, and I'd still be afraid of him.
Would you spar Mike Tyson?
Never.
Really?
I wouldn't even slap box Mike Tyson.
You wouldn't spar Mike Tyson?
Never. Nope.
Wow.
That's the one guy I would probably play or move around with anyone except for him.
Yeah. Because you know what the thing is?
He doesn't spar. He fights for real.
You never do. You see him in some of his old sparring sessions?
That's what I'm about to say. You ever see his sparring sessions? Jesus. Crazy.
Oliver McCall, everybody like that? It's nuts. I don't know. I don't think I wouldn't spar him either. I'm just talking trash.
I wouldn't spar him either.
It depends on if I get him paid. I don't know. Do you get paid?
I don't know. I've gotten injured in sparring sessions before, you know, against
what was her name?
Guys that I've broken a nose and I've broken a rib in a sparring session, and I've, you know, injured a wrist, not broken the wrist, but injured ligaments in a wrist, and I've suffered a lot of injuries over the years.
That's the thing, that, like boxing gyms go hard.
And that's against like hard. That's against like people like myself. So imagine if I have Richie LaMontagne. You ever heard that guy Richie LaMontagne?
Yeah.
His brother's named Steven. His brother was an amateur, but his brother I think was open class. I was novice. I wasn't open class. I used to spar him. Oh my God, he used to fucking beat me up, man.
It's insane. And they always go hard in boxing gyms. We could always tell when I was at the jiu-jitsu gym and stuff like that, and they did like some boxing there. I could always tell who was from a boxing gym because they go like balls out, like constantly.
his trainer would ask me, you want to get in there and move around with him for a little bit? He's got a tournament coming up. And me, like an idiot, said, yeah, I'll move around with him for a little bit.
You can't say no. Here's the thing.
And this is no knock on him. He's not going to just move around. He's getting ready to go into a tournament.
he's going to blast me.
Right? I was novice. He's open class. I said, fuck it. Let me do it.
If anybody asks you like that, you got it, right?
See how it is in the big leagues.
Can't turn that down.
Man. Someone asks me now, I'm saying no.
It's a lot different now.
I'm not saying yes now. No, no way.
All right, so let's move on to these news and rumors here. The big story this week, Katie Taylor is now number one in the ring pound for pound women's section. Yeah. Listen. I'm not trying to be a jerk.
You have to stop this.
I didn't even say anything.
You have to stop.
I didn't even say anything.
Have to stop this.
I didn't say nothing.
Okay?
I didn't say nothing.
We're in a new world now. We're in a new world now. We have a female vice president now, okay?
Eric's misogyny is out of control.
You gotta stop now.
I didn't say one word.
You gotta stop with this.
I didn't say one word, man.
We're losing sponsors by the second because of this.
I didn't say anything.
Okay?
I said nothing. I didn't say anything, man.
Kotex just pulled all their ads off this friggin' video.
Kotex.
Okay? We're done.
Let me tell you what. I respect women fighters. Let me tell you what. When I was at jiu-jitsu, when I was at the MMA place, I got choked out by a couple of girls. No problem. I mean, they completely just dominated me because I didn't know what I was doing. Still don't know what I'm doing. You know, but, you know, I'll be honest, though. But where I was going with this was I didn't know there was that many women to really create a pound for pound list.
Oh, here we go. Here we go again.
I'm asking questions. I don't know, Beeb. I'm just asking questions.
I'm going to pull out the catalog for you.
All right. Who do we got? We got Clarissa Shields. Katie Taylor. And that welterweight chick, Brake Hughes, the one to kiss the other chick. Yeah. I'd rank her number one.
We got McCaskills. The girl that beat... the girl that beat Breakus.
Mm-hmm.
We got Presume. Who else She's we got? We got what's her name?
I don't know who else we got. That's the
we
point.
Got Serrano. We got Serrano. Who's the other girl we got?
When was the last time she fought?
Amanda Serrano?
Yeah.
Who's the other one we have? Who's the other one we have? The flyweight. Oh, damn it. The one that... Marlon, the girl that
Esparza.
Marlon Esparza.
Yeah.
We have Salum Urbina. Got her.
Tone, let me tell you, it's the best $50 I ever spent. All right.
Sinisa Estrada. That's who I. Jesus Christ! I can't believe I forgot her. That's who I was trying. Thank you, D Style. We got Sinisa Estrada. Just named like 15 women for you right now. We got Heather Hardy.
Nothing.
You're laughing. We got Micaiah Mayer.
We got
Micaiah Mayer at 130 pound champion. Our new 130 pound champion.
Yeah.
We got Christina Hammer. Who's the other? Who's the girl at super middleweight? Savannah. Who's the Savannah? Oh, the girl that just won the vacant super middleweight title. The female fighter, Savannah. Damn it! What's her last name? I'm not making a very good case,
am I? Yeah, right? You don't know.
Marshall.
Know.
Marshall.
That's the point.
Yeah. Marshall. Marshall, super middleweight champion. She's good. Savannah Marshall. Here we go. Thank you, guys.
Just asking questions. I don't know.
He's really off the mark here.
I'm ignorant when it comes to this, man. I admit it.
Got Shayna Fapiano. Everett's finest.
Everett's finest.
Why are you laughing? How dare you laugh?
You said Everett's finest. That's why I said I was laughing because you're right.
Okay. Savannah Marshall, that's right.
Do you think that she deserves a number one spot? Or do you think Clarissa Shields? Because I think Clarissa Shields until she's, you know.
I like Katie Taylor, too. Katie Taylor's my favorite female fighter. I like Katie Taylor a lot. I love how she fights. I love watching her fight.
Yeah, she's good.
No disrespect to Clarissa Shields. She's a phenomenal fighter. I like her, but I love Katie Taylor. Katie Taylor's a great fighter.
Yeah. When was the last time Serrano fought?
Long time.
What about Heather Hardy?
Long time. Yeah. She was in MMA. She was getting hurt, man. She was getting smashed.
She got cut out for MMA, son.
Yeah, she was getting hurt bad. I felt bad for her in MMA. Yeah, female boxing. Like Eddie Hearn is doing a great job with female boxing right now.
Who was that? Who was that girl? Chris? Is it Harrison? Chrissy Harrison or Krista Harrison? Made her MMA debut or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember.
She's from Ohio. That's why I bring her up. Title Town, baby.
And what was that female? The female fight on the Zone. It ended up being a draw.
Cares.
But no, it was a great fight. Can someone help me out in the chat? Who were the two girls that fought? Who were the two girls that fought on the Zone? And it was a draw. But the underdog. The underdog should have won. It was a great fight on the Zone. It was like, remember I told you that was like the best fight of the weekend, but it ended up being a draw?
What about Tracy Harper? Lawrence? Who did
yes.
he fight?
Harper Jones. Do you see that Harper Jones fight?
No.
That fight was awesome. It ended up being a draw. Natasha Jones. Natasha Jones won that fight over Harper. But it was a draw. Yeah, Natasha Jonas. That was a good fight, man. No, it was a good. That was the fight of the weekend.
I'll take your word for it, man. That was a good fight. It was a good fight, though.
Jonas. That's what I said, Jonas. I said Jones first, but I corrected myself. Jonas.
All right, let's move on.
Terry Harper. I don't think Terry Harper won that fight.
Beeb's getting all the names wrong.
No one name wrong. Got one name wrong.
Everybody's name wrong, son. You don't know him any better than I know him.
Savannah Marshall, that's a right name. That's a right name.
Yeah. Anywho, let's move on to the train wreck of the week. Let's move on to something exciting here. Your boy, Beeb. Your boy. Let me see if I can share this. I don't know if I can. See, D-Style's always got his stuff set up and ready to go. We're not that organized over here. Maybe not. I don't know. Yeah.
Are you trying to screenshot something?
No. Just relax. There we go. This is from Adrian Bronner. He is our train wreck of the week. Adrian Bronner says, "Look, everybody, just cash at me $13." He's actually begging for money on Instagram. This is from his account. "Look, everybody, just cash at me $13. So I ain't got to make a OnlyFans. My Cash App is $ about billions 89. Whatever you can afford will be helpful. My $13, I need it, and I will be grateful." Babe, what do you make of this, man?
I think that's a spoof.
You think it's a spoof?
Yeah.
Really?
I think it's a spoof.
You don't think he's flat broke right now? You don't think he's pulling a Floyd Mayweather right now?
I think he's having some problems. I think he's having some problems.
I would say, yeah. I would say he's having a ton of problems right now.
Yeah, I think he's having some problems.
That's crazy. Who does that? I mean, like, really, like, who does that? I don't get it. All right, so Canelo and Callum Smith is now confirmed. Let's see here, and I don't have the date. I don't know, but anyway, it's confirmed, and it's going to happen in December. December 19th, I think it is.
Yeah, it's December 19th. You're right.
Yeah, December 19th. So there you go. Rafael Dawkins says he's about billions. $13 won't help him.
Yeah, do you think? Well, I mean, do you think he's serious? I mean, but do you think he was serious about asking people for money, though?
Yeah, yeah, I do.
You do?
I 100% do. I 100% do.
I kind of think it was like a spoof.
I think he was for real. I mean, he put his Cash App information out there. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, why would you do that? Like, if you weren't expecting people to send you money.
I don't know. Because someone said something that he only had $13 to his name, so I think he was kind of like making a play on that.
Yeah, well, he said that. He said he only had $13 to his name.
Oh, okay.
Nobody else said it. He said it. So there you go, man. Also, too, Ryan Garcia and Luke Campbell have been rescheduled for January 2nd. You remember that Luke Campbell got the COVID, and he's out. So they rescheduled for January 2nd. I like that fight. I like that fight. It's a good fight, man. Depending, I mean, hopefully he doesn't have any symptoms, you know what I mean? Like any symptoms that's going to overlap, you know what I mean, and kind of stay with him. So we'll see how that goes. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. 773, you're live.
What's up, boys? How the hell y'all doing today?
What's happening, man?
I gotta say, this Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones. Mike Tyson got some gyno nips. That dude's all juiced up, and it's
gyno nips
getting out of his nipples.
What?
Yeah,
I don't know, man. I really wasn't peeping him out like that, nipples. So I wouldn't.
Oh
know,
my god,
know.
This is gross. This is ridiculous talk right now.
How dare you, sir?
Yeah,
that's a
clear giveaway with steroid abuse. They start getting these puffy estrogen nipples where they pop out like freaking like females.
Beeb, let me ask you, were you checking Tyson out like that? Like staring him down like that?
Not like that.
I wasn't
no.
peeping him out like that, man. I don't know.
I can't remember ever looking at that man's nipples.
Come on, you weren't talking about what good a shape he is and this and that. You know, you checked out the shirtless photo, see what kind of shape Mike Tyson was in.
I don't think I did, to be honest. Did you check out his shirtless photo?
No, I didn't look at his shirtless photo. I'm on X videos checking out females. Oh, I don't look at guys.
You're looking at Heather Hardy on X videos? What are you doing?
I would. I'm not ashamed to say that.
I would too.
She's a pretty girl.
Yeah,
she is.
She's a pretty girl, man.
So pretty much the common knowledge that I'm like Tyson's using steroids. Roy Jones, you know, he's not afraid to stick a needle in his ass. So he'll probably be doing steroids too. And it's a damn shame these boxing people.
What are they stacking? Kevin, what are they stacking? What are they taking?
Deca.
Little Trenbolone, action. What do you think?
The shit that makes your head grow.
Okay.
Little Trenbolone
with an HGH chaser.
Some Deca, some Durabolin.
Little D ball action.
D ball.
Who knows? I'm sure they can afford the good stuff though. it's a shame, dude. They're gonna weasel some money out of us. It's a glorified sparring session, no knockdowns, and people are gonna buy it simply for the nostalgia.
Are you gonna watch it?
You know what? I'm actually looking forward. I'm gonna be tuning into the card to watch Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul. I'm actually more excited for that fight. I feel like they're actually gonna let their hands go. It's gonna be a slobber knocker. I'm actually looking more forward to that fight than old man Jones and Tyson.
Title Town, son.
You think about that.
Title Town, baby. Jake Paul.
The undercard is interesting.
It's not too bad. I mean, go with Badu Jack under there. Jake Paul is on there.
Not a bad card.
They're always entertaining. Fights like that are just entertaining. You know, I mean, they don't have any real significance, and that's okay. Not every fight has to mean something. It's okay to just go out there and just have an entertaining and just to watch, you know, an entertaining fight. It's okay.
Like I said, if you have two guys or two fighters that are equal in skill, and they may not be the upper echelon, as long as they're equal in skill, a lot of times that you can produce a good fight out of that. So we'll see.
Yeah. This is the reason I like it, because I think they got some bad blood. They've been talking a lot of trash, and I feel like they're actually going to go in there and try to hurt each other. They're going to try to get each other out of there. I feel like with the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones thing, it's going to be a sparring match, like they said, no knockdowns or whatever. So it just seems like a cash grab where these guys are going in. I don't think they're going to take it. I just don't have too much high hopes for it. But I think the Badu Jack versus some dude, I don't know, Blake something, the Beast. That'll be a decent one.
Blake McKernan, Blake McKernan.
Get in there and brawl, so that'll be good. Yeah, other than that, there's not too much boxing fights to look forward to this weekend.
There you go. All right, Kevin, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much. Let's go.
Kevin, happy Thanksgiving, Kevin.
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, Kevin. That's right. 805, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's
up? How are you gonna cook the turkey this year? I heard you're cooking it in an air fryer. Is that correct?
I heard he's doing the bag. That's what I heard. I don't know.
Are you air frying the turkey? You're not gonna air fry the turkey?
He's gonna regular fry the turkey.
You can have a little bit of Hoppin' John. You can have some Hoppin' John alongside the turkey. A little Hoppin' John.
Hoppin' John.
It's rice and beans. You don't know nothing about that.
I don't know anything about that. I know about rice and beans. I don't know about Hoppin' John.
It's rice and black eyed peas. Hoppin' John.
What's the matter with you? Stop it.
Never had that before?
We're Mexican, son. We don't eat the black eyed peas. We do chickpeas and rice. The rice and beans are black beans and rice.
All right, take it easy. Go ahead, Notch. Go ahead, Notch.
Oh, so now you want him to take it easy, huh, Beans? Well, as far as that so-called exhibition, I don't even know. I never thought I'd see the day where I'd see two senior citizens fighting each other on pay-per-view and everybody talking about it. I think that's a sad state of affairs that we're talking about this exhibition between a 54-year-old Mike Tyson and a 51-year-old Roy Jones.
What's wrong with being 51, Notch?
Yeah.
What's wrong with being 51? I'm 51.
Wow, he's just put you down, B.
Steve, you can do a whole lot of other things. We don't want to see you get punched in the face.
Wow. 51.
Thank you, Notch. Thank you, Notch. You actually care about my face.
I wouldn't want to see him get punched in the face.
Yeah, we don't want to see you get punched in the face, B. And I don't want to see Roy Jones' head fly off because that might actually...
His head fly off.
But anyway, as far as the real fights that are... Well, at least one real fight is taking place this weekend, and that's Daniel Dubois is about to take out Joe Joyce. I'm surprised you guys haven't been talking about that at all.
I did. What are you talking about? Where you been? I was talking about it extendedly. Where have you been?
Talked about it earlier, Notch.
Yeah, for like 6 hours I was on that topic. Where you been,
Eric? You know what Eric said about it? This is what Eric's cold-hearted self said about this fight. I mean, right, days away from Thanksgiving. You know what he said?
That's right.
He goes, after this fight, we'll never have to see Joe Joyce again. How cold-hearted is that?
He might be right, B. He might be right.
That's right.
I mean, because if Joe Joyce gets taken out, I don't know if we see him again. He's getting
Don't let him corrupt your thought process, please.
He's not corrupting my thought process, B. I think Dubois is legit, and I think Joe Joyce is a made-up product, to be honest. I think Joe Joyce is legitimately fought nobody in getting his win, and I don't see it. I think Dubois.
The guy's gonna make a living, Notch. The guy's gonna make a living, Notch, and you're writing him off like that.
He can go bag groceries, man. What do you want me to tell you? Look, because he ain't winning this fight.
Yeah, he can go.
He's done, son. Maybe he can go work an office somewhere.
Go back to the PBC and fight a bunch of nobodies. He can make some money that way.
Done. He's got a tough man contest in England too.
You guys are very negative, man.
Negative? What are you talking about?
I think you don't like Joe Joyce.
I was the women's only pound for pound. I was all excited about that, and you like dumped all over it.
I think you guys don't like Joe Joyce just because he looks like Nestor Gibbs.
Stop it. What's the matter with you?
Like who?
Nestor Gibbs from the boxing place.
Come on. What's the matter with him? Nobody cares.
Honestly, Joe Joyce looks like he's fighting in molasses, beef. I just think he's going to get taken out by the younger, faster fighter, son. To be honest.
Every time you watch that guy, he can't move. He moves like a robot.
Nope.
That's it. He moves like a robot. That's
he
it,
looks
son.
Like his feet are in cement the entire time. Yeah.
Imagine if Joe Joyce wins this fight by knockout. What are you guys going to say?
We'll say he got lucky. That's what I'm going to say because that's what happened. That's what happened.
I'm glad he beat, but I think I agree with Eric.
Guys,
if he ends up landing a bomb that knocks out Dubois, I'm just going to say he got lucky.
The only way Joe Joyce wins this fight is if Dubois, like, breaks his leg on the way to the ring and can't enter the ring or tries to fight somehow, you know, compromise.
That's
the only way he wins.
You guys are too biased against Joe Joyce just because he looks like somebody. That's wrong.
So? It is what it is. Is what it is, son.
Just because he looks like somebody.
So that,
That's wrong.
Who do you got? Who do you got, Mike Tyson or Roy Jones?
Oh, I think Mike's going to get him out of there. The only way Roy survives is that he literally would have to basically turn it into a, you know, he'd have to sink out the joint. I don't think Roy's going to survive if he lets Mike hit him. There's no way.
Do you think, though, they're actually going to, like, hit each other, like, for real? Like, I mean, or is it going to be just a sparring session?
I'm having trouble believing that these guys are just going to go in there to spar because they haven't said anything about bigger gloves than headgear, Eric.
Yeah, so, I don't know what – I would imagine they're wearing 16-ounce gloves. I imagine they would wear 16-ounce gloves.
I'm going to be an – I'm going to be an alternate judge for this fight as well.
Why don't you go be an alternate judge for Katie Taylor's next fight, or – who is that, Sarah Marshall or whatever?
Savannah Marshall.
Whatever.
God darn it. Will you get these girls' names
go
right?
Be an extra, why don't you go be an extra on her set?
Notch, what do you think of Eric's misogyny against women's boxing?
It's not misogyny. Got a lot of respect for him.
Hey, Beam, he told you that he doesn't really follow women's boxing. I don't think he's lying when he says what he's saying.
That is.
I mean, he says he doesn't follow it, so...
Got my picture taken with Clarissa Shields.
Yeah. You don't think that's sexist that he doesn't follow women's boxing?
Is it sexist that you don't follow, like, women's softball? What do you mean, is it sexist that I don't follow women's boxing? What do you follow, like, women's ice hockey? Lacrosse? No. Does that make you sexist?
I'll have you know that I watch every WNBA game that's on television.
I didn't even know they still had a WNBA.
Oh, that's a lie, Beef. I really didn't. I had no idea
they still had a WNBA.
Listen, I am pro woman, okay?
We're all pro women.
I support women.
Yeah,
I do too.
Okay?
You support women?
No, you don't support Lois. Women.
You support Lois. She's not working, is she?
We're still using our pandemic money for Lois, okay?
Pandemic money.
We're able to get that.
That's TD money. You know, you're coming in because you can't work anymore. That was messed up. That was messed up, Beeb. You shouldn't have said that. That was messed up.
Please. This video is going to get taken down because of your insolence. Go ahead, Notch.
Insolence.
Go ahead, Notch.
Just real quick, guys, because, I mean, it was such a light weekend on boxing. You guys were talking about Andre. He's actually not fighting. Dan Rayfield said that apparently they couldn't find anybody to take the fight, so they pulled him off the card. So he's not fighting at all.
Yeah. And who he was fighting, Dusty Hernandez-Harrison, he's not going to win that fight.
No.
That's a mismatch.
Yeah, that was just going to be a stay-busy fight. Yeah, that was just a stay-busy fight for Andre. He would have beat him. But supposedly his dad went on boxing team and said that DAZN told him that Harrison Hernandez dropped out because, according to them, that he was still like 25 or 30 pounds above super middleweight and he wasn't going to make the weight in time.
20 or 30 pounds above super middleweight. Jesus. Guy's walking around at 190 pounds, 200 pounds.
Yeah. That's what Andre's dad said that DAZN told him, that he pulled out because apparently he wasn't going to have enough time to cut weight. So that's why there's no – Andre's not fighting this weekend.
Can you imagine having to lose 30 pounds every camp for a fight? That's crazy.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of guys don't stay in shape in between fights. That's the problem.
I lose 10 pounds and I start to get lightheaded. Jesus.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And they're never at that. Yeah, they're only at that weight for a couple of seconds, you know? I mean, really, they're only at that weight for a couple of seconds.
They're only at that weight for like 10 minutes before they hit the buffet.
Yeah, before they start rehydrating. Yeah.
So. Knox, you going to be in the Bridgerweight class?
Me personally, probably should, because I'm not big enough to fight guys like Fury, Joshua, and Wilder. So I would have to sign up for Bridgerweight.
How tall are you, Notch?
That'd be competitive for me.
How tall are you, Notch?
6 foot.
6 feet?
Yeah, Notch is tall.
What's the weight? Yeah. What's the weight? What are you weighing in at right now? 220?
Right now I weigh 220.
Be better to send him a – what did I send you, a double X? I gave you a double X, right? He wears double X T-shirts, man. Notch is no joke, man.
He's got big arms, man.
Notch got this nice subtle voice right now on the radio. If I unleash Notch on you, forget about it. He'll break you in a couple pieces and throw you in the corner somewhere. Notch is no joke. Notch is no joke, man. Ever seen Notch when he's fired up? He can wreck a bar room, I'll tell you that right now.
He can wreck a bar room?
I'm not trying to catch criminal cases, dude. Come on now.
He's wrecking a bar room. All right, Notch, we're going to get running, man.
I want to rematch with Nacho. I want to rematch with Nacho.
We got to get you that rematch. We got to get you that rematch because, quite honestly, you were embarrassed. And quite honestly,
I got robbed.
That was embarrassing.
I got to be honest
with you. That was very embarrassing. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that you lost. I don't like the fact that you choked on this channel. We will have to do this again.
Have to do it again. I was set up like Trump was.
Wow.
No. He's got to concede, man. He's got to concede.
Got to concede, right? Where else are you going to go? You got to take the L on this one, man.
This is getting ridiculous now.
All of his lawsuits have been thrown out. That one today got thrown out. Yeah, it's not good. Not good.
Yep. Horrible.
What are you going to do? All right, guys, that'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1 and find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. You can find me on Twitter at ringside73, and we will see you guys next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Stay safe.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Yes, definitely stay safe. Wear a mask.
Stay safe. Wear a mask. When you're eating a turkey, you can cut a hole in the mask, but make sure you wear the mask.
And on that note.
See you guys later.